Happy thought, eh? Well, it's interesting if you actually think about that. There could be times in our lives where we feel like we're really stuck, and we just love to be able to like fly, like Pan needs to, and it'd be great to think you just have a happy thought and you could fly out of that circumstance, that day, that problem would be an awesome thing to do. But I want us to think about the idea of being happy, and so. What would be for you if you found yourself in a tough spot? If you found yourself in a place where you, in a sense, need to gain some wings to get out of that situation, that mindset, that space you find yourself in? What would be your happy thought? Like, what would be something, I guess you could put it another way, what would make you happy? But really, what is it, that thought, that idea, that memory, that truth? What would be the thing that would be a happy thought for you? Think about that. What do you think that might be? Okay, so. Who has a happy thought for me? Any of your kids got any happy thoughts? Nobody. See, it's going to be difficult because most of the people in the room are old and grumpy. So, who has a happy thought? Yep. Spending time with family, cool. Awesome. What's another happy thought? Yep. To see her family. Yep. Cool. I mean, for those that don't know, for Anna at the moment, she's working with immigration to try and see her son and his family reunited with her here in New Zealand. That's right in process right now. So that would be a great happy thought. What else? Any other ideas? Long weekends. All right. Long hot weekends. No. Okay, what else? What's that? Beach. Beach is a happy thought. Cool. What's that? Something in friends. Oh, good food. Oh, so we're doing food and friends. Yep. Cool. What else? Being loved. Okay, we'll take a couple more. Yep. Playing with your friends. Thank you very much. That's a great one. Okay, sound, I'll just put sound of motor, okay? But yeah, I know what you're saying. Okay. There's lots of things that can make us happy. I'll show you two of mine. They're pretty deep and meaningful. But I want you to think about this, that happiness is more than feeling good. It's more than that. In fact, we're going to have a look at what Jesus says about being happy today. And I think what you'll find in there is that happiness is something that, as Jesus would describe, is something that's very deep and that sometimes can actually be found, in the way that Jesus would describe it, can be found in very difficult places and even painful places, but also in places that are joyful. I was thinking about Peter Pan and his happy thought being that he's a daddy and that he's, you know, because remember the story of Peter Pan? He's the lost boy. So that's significant because he didn't know about a dad. And yet when he met Wendy and then he wanted to be a father and he got to be a dad and hold Jack. And so for him that was such a happy thought. It wasn't just like, oh, I felt good that day. It meant much more to him than that. It was almost like the thing that was defining of him that would bring him some deep joy. So here's one of my happy thoughts. If you just bring up that slide. There's me. I'm pretty young back then, I must say. And that's my son Jay. He's quite young there too. He's only just arrived out in open air moments before. And this week, just gone, we celebrated Jay's 23rd birthday. So that was pretty exciting. And the week before, Lorraine and I went to Wellington and spent a day with him to celebrate 23 years on the planet. But I can remember this day. This would be like one of my happy thought days. I can remember holding Jay and just like not knowing how this can actually happen, like just being blown away that here's this little life, that's Lorraine and my like little life, that's a fully living thing, you know? And just the joy, the happiness, just the deep content, that moment will always stick with me. It would be one of the most memorable moments of my life, that moment. Now, that doesn't mean there's not lots of other great moments that I have with my son Jay, but that's a moment I go back to and go, man, that's where, this is, I mean, our relationship started here in this moment. It's pretty cool. There's another moment that I remember, and it's really a series of moments that I remember, that also about father-son relationship, but it's a relationship that I had with my dad. So if you just show the next slide. So this is me and my dad. There's a set of photos, and these are the last photos that we have of my dad before he died. He'd been sick for about 3 years, and over those 3 years, I had some really precious time with him, and then over the last few months, and then finally the last few days, and the day before he died in Matamata in a hospital, I was with him. And I was also with him and my mum. Now, when I think back to that day, it's not like I feel in a way good about that day. It's not like, oh, that was such a fun day. It wasn't like, oh, I felt so relaxed and comfortable. It was like, felt like stuff was on edge and Dad's health was declining. And I can remember sitting with my mum and Dad on the bed in the hospital the day before my dad died. And I can tell you this, that it's one of my happiest moments. In the hardship, in the difficulty. You know why? And I can remember that moment clearly. I saw my mum and my dad loving each other in his last day, after all those years. And it brought me great joy, it still does, and such an example to me. See, happiness is not always in the circumstance. People talk about happiness, is it happenings? You know, but it's not. And so I want us to have a look today at what happiness really is. You can switch that off now, thanks. So, right, I've got some stuff here that we're going to give out to these kids. So, if any kids want another colouring in thing, I'm going to give this lot to Mirren. You sort of head that way, you head that way. If you want another colouring in about being happy, put your hand up and I'll get one to you. Okay, so if your kids need one, just call out to Robert or Merritt, they'll get you one of those. You'll also see if at your table towards the back, you've run out of colouring in pictures that look like this, kids, if you've run out of these, just score one of these from somebody from a table in front of you that's not using it. And if you also find that there's a colour missing in your pack, you know, in your cup, just ask the people from the table next door for theirs. Or at the back table, there's a big container of colours. So if you're missing a yellow and you need a yellow, go to the back table. There's colours there. If you break your pencil nib, go to the back table. There's a pencil sharpener there too. Okay? You sorted? Cool. We've got more coming your way soon too, but not just yet. All right. Three weeks ago, we looked at a word. Whew, who can remember? Oh, actually, it was 2 weeks ago. Who can remember the word we looked at 2 weeks ago? Blessing. That's right. We looked at this word. That's working good, isn't it? Right. We looked at the word blessing. Who can remember what the word blessing meant? Anyone remember? Who can remember? Good word. Good memory. So, it meant good word. And the Greek word for it was something like eulogio, which we get the word eulogy from. So when we have a eulogy, somebody is speaking a good word about somebody. So we looked at this idea that you and I are blessed. That Jesus, the Son of God, has blessed us. In Him, we have every spiritual blessing when we come into relationship. We have every good word. We have every good promise from Him. And we looked at that 2 weeks ago. Today, we're going to look at another word that's kind of the same, but different. So It's the word to be blessed. So in a way, this word up here is blessed as well. But sometimes you'll hear people talk about we're blessed. It's a good word. But then there's this other word that you sometimes will hear people say in a sort of a funny way that we don't use in common language. They'll say blessed. Have you heard that? And we mainly have it from this time when Jesus is on a hillside and a whole lot of people are gathered around and he's teaching them about the kingdom of God. And he says to them, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn. And he says this word, blessed. It's like he sort of makes it into like two words. So I want us today to look at this word, blessed. It's different from the word that you are blessed. You are blessed is like you are given this gift from God of his promises to you, to be in his family forever, you know, all those things, to be forgiven, to be his son, his daughter. They're like his blessings, or you're blessed with that. But this idea of blessed is talking about how you are. And the word means, generally, the word happy. Okay? And there's another word that they have in the Greek for that, and we find some interesting language here. And there's the word. I'll just write it up here for you. Something like makarios. And this word here is interesting because we have in most of our Bibles it will say blessed or it will say happy. Okay, so I'm going to read it to you now. So this is from Matthew 5, verse 3 to 10. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So think about that word happy. It would be like saying, happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Most of the time we think of blessed as being happy. And there's some other words that go with that. Being satisfied, being content, being full, being joyful. They're the kinds of words we associate. But it was interesting that when this word, makarios, was first used by the Greeks before it was used in the Bible, it didn't mean that. It had another meaning that could well be what Jesus is saying as well. And so what would happen is that when they said, blessed are, they would mainly talk about the gods, the Greek gods. You know, more like blessed is Zeus. And they weren't saying he's giggling or he's feeling good. This is what they were saying. They were saying, rich is Zeus. Powerful is Zeus. Great is Zeus. That's what this word blessed means. To blessed, rich, powerful, great. And it was thought like this, that the people felt like they were the peasants. You know, they were the poor, the vulnerable, the weak, who lived on the earth. And that the gods were the rich and the powerful and the great. And that in this life, very few were blessed. Very few. People didn't get to be blessed in this life. In fact, it's interesting that in their poetry, they attribute blessedness, being happy as it were, to people like you and me when we die. Because before that, they would say, there's not much chance that you're ever going to be rich, powerful, or great. But when you die, you might get lucky and you might get that. Here's one of the poems. From hence the lesson learn ye, to reckon no man happy, till ye witness the closing day, until he passed the border which severs life from death, unscathed by sorrow. You see what the poet is saying? He's saying, you can't reckon any man, you can't consider any man to be happy, to be blessed, to be rich, great, or powerful until he's crossed the line from this life into the next. Because all that's in this life is sorrow. But hey, you might get to the next life, and hopefully if the gods are on our side, it's going to be all good. Now think about this. Jesus comes, and he said, my world, my kingdom doesn't work like that. In my kingdom, you who consider yourselves poor and weak and having no greatness, you're just a nobody, you know what? You can be rich and great and powerful in my kingdom. You can be happy. You can be blessed. And that's what this passage is about. So what we're going to do is we're going to read it in a few different translations, different ways people have written to try and express what that word blessed and happy means. And the kids, I've got some puzzles here for you guys to work on to try and break the codes and find the words that are all around these blessings, these reasons for being happy. And then we're going to work on worksheets at tables in a few minutes. So I just need a couple more helpers again. So do you guys want to, if anybody wants a word find, even if you're a grown-up and you want a word find, you can stick your hand up and grab a word find. And if you want to break the code, then these guys got to break the code. So if you guys can just go and hand those out. So if you want a puzzle, get your hands up, get one of these. That'd be cool. Awesome. So think about this, that Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. So have a look at the first one there. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we might translate that, happy are the poor in spirit. But the problem is when we start thinking happy, we sometimes thinking like, I feel so happy today. And then tomorrow I don't. And it's not the meaning here. What if it means rich, great, and powerful are the poor in spirit, for they are in the kingdom of heaven. They're in Jesus' kingdom. What it's almost like where you, somebody said being loved before, like where you belong, where you find safety and security, where you're accepted, where you're honored, where you're provided for and protected. There you find yourself blessed. You find yourself rich, great, powerful in a sense, but it's not because of you. There's a verse in Corinthians where Paul is writing about some struggles he has in his life and how he feels very weak. And he's wanting to explain how that though he's weak and he's cried out to God to fix up his problem three times, God hasn't, because God's grace for him is enough. But he discovers this incredible truth. It says this, 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 7, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. We don't know what that is, but there was some problem that Paul had that was continual, something that caused him great pain, something that kept him humble. Then it says this, verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient, my grace is enough for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. Paul's saying a similar thing. He's saying, when I am weak, I am strong. When I am blessed in my weakness. How could that be true? And it's not because Paul is strong. He's saying it's because God is. And he's gifting me all that I need in this life. And I trust in his strength. And in that, in my weakness, in my dependence on him, I find my power. I find my strength. And I would say in this passage with Jesus, it's like there I might find my happiness. So this first one, blessed are the poor in spirit. You think, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? What does it mean to be poor? It means to recognize that you don't have what you need. It means that you're without. It means that you lack. It means that you don't have enough. And in spirit, it's like in the very core of who you are as a spiritual being before God who created you, you're just lacking. You are poor. You're a beggar. But when you recognize that and you own that, Jesus says, oh, in that space, you become rich, blessed. Because in that space, you reach out to me and I give you it all. I make you sons and daughters in my kingdom. So here's what we're going to do is you've got that large sheet in front of you. There's some smaller sheets that you can do as your worksheet to take home. But that large sheet, what I'd like you to do, and this is what we're doing for the rest of our time here really this morning, while I'm sort of leading you through this passage, is it's your turn to, I guess, learn from each other and learn from God's word and to think about what is the blessing, what is the thing that makes one happy, and then why? So, for example, in the first one, like, what is the happy piece? What is it saying happy is? And in many ways, it's saying, well, happy is being poor in spirit. But why is that? And so, just for each of those, as you're working your way through, who are the blessed would be the first column. And then the second column, what makes them blessed? And just work on that at your tables with each other to see what you would come up with. Now, to help you along with that, we've got a couple of readings that we're going to do right now. And I want you to listen to the words because these will give you some more language. Okay, so we're going to start with, where's Katie? Okay, Katie's going to read to us from the Good News Bible. And so have a listen. This will give you some words to think about, some different descriptive words. Thanks, Katie. Oh, where you go? Have I not turned it on? Oh, sorry there. There you go.
Hello.
You're going.
Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn. God will comfort them. Happy are those who are humble. They will receive what God has promised. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. God will satisfy them fully. Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them. Happy are those who are pure in heart. They will see God. Happy are those who work for peace. God will call them his children. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them.
Thanks, Katie. Anna's just going to read us the passage as well. Thanks, Anna.
Okay. Dichosos los pobres en espíritu, porque el reino de los cielos les pertenece. Dichosos los que lloran, porque serán consolados. Dichosos los humildes, porque recibirán la tierra como herencia. Dichosos los que tienen hambre y sed de justicia, porque serán saciados. Dichosos los compasivos, porque serán tratados con compasión. Dichosos los de corazón limpio, porque ellos llevarán a Dios. Dichosos los que trabajan por la paz, porque serán llamados hijos de Dios. Dichosos los perseguidos por causa de la justicia, porque el reino de los cielos les pertenece.
Gracias. And Liam's just going to read to us from the Passion Translation. Thanks, Liam.
What wealth is offered to you when you feel your spiritual poverty? For there is no charge to enter the realm of heaven's kingdom. What delight comes to you when you wait upon the Lord? For you will find what you long for. What blessing comes to you when gentleness lives in you, for you will inherit the earth. How enriched you are when you crave righteousness, for you will be surrounded with fruitfulness. How satisfied you are when you demonstrate tender mercy, for tender mercy will be demonstrated to you. What bliss you experience when your heart is pure, for then your eyes will be opened to see more and more of God. How blessed you are when you make peace, for then you will be recognized as a true child of God. How enriched you are when you bear the wounds of being persecuted for doing what is right. For that is when you experience the realm of heaven's kingdom.
Thanks, Liam. So yeah, just for the next probably about 15 minutes, just work together at your tables, considering who is blessed and what makes them blessed. And just see what you come up with there. That'd be great. These are some of my words that I thought about what it means to be blessed, to be rich, to be honest, to be powerful, to be desiring, to be loving, to be unashamed, to be at peace, to be safe. It would be interesting for you when you go home to think through what are the words that you would attach to this idea of to be happy. Like, what are those words? Like for me, one of them is to be safe. You know, when I think about that thing, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's like, that doesn't sound like a fun place to be. That sounds like a very dangerous place to be. Jesus is saying that when we're in his kingdom and we have him as our king and his great love for us, over us, that even in that, we are blessed. And I think, man, even in that, I can be safe. Well, I don't know what the word is that you would use for that. I was thinking about that language about, you know, that the Greeks used and of their gods and of themselves, and that great separation where they saw richness and power and greatness as these things to be desired, but way beyond reach, and saw themselves stuck in this place of just being, in a way, at the mercy, I guess you'd say, of the gods, but in a very horrible sort of, you know, unsafe kind of a way. And yet it's interesting that Jesus flips things around so much that he comes to you and I, and you read those first four there, you think, oh, poor, mourning, meek, hunger. We wouldn't normally go, oh, that's great stuff. But Jesus goes, in my kingdom, that's really good. It's okay if you are poor right now and if you are desiring more in this life than what you seem to be able to get, you know, something more. And if you are deeply grieving right now, and if, you know, you have richness, you have position and power in my kingdom, because not because you have it, but because I gift it to you. See, the Greek gods were distant and far and fickle, and they, you know, they could just do as they please kind of thing towards humanity, and humanity were like victims. But Jesus says, no, I want to take all my richness and greatness, and I see you as my sons and daughters, and I give of my very best for you. To give my life for you, to give my spirit for you, to speak good words of blessing over you, and to say, no matter what happens in this life, I will be with you. No matter what happens in this life, you seek me and all that you really need will be yours. You seek me in this life and you'll be with me forever, not just in this life, but in the next. And I just want to finish with these words before we take time just to stand and to declare our love for Jesus and our praise to him, our thankfulness. We talked about that the very first Sunday this year. Be thankful. Chance to not just be blessed with his good words, but to speak words of grace to him. But I think of the words from 2 weeks ago from Ephesians 1. Just listen to these again. This is why you and I are happy today, blessed today, rich, powerful, and great today in his kingdom, is because it's in Jesus. Listen to the words from Ephesians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose you before anything existed in our universe. He chose you. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. He went, I want you to be my son and my daughter, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished, that he poured out on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. What is that saying? It's saying the fact that you and I today can look and go, he did it all for me. When I'm poor and I've got nothing, I am rich because I'm part of his kingdom. And he would say the reason he did that was so that he would be even more glorified. And you go, what? It's all just about him? No, here's what's great. He is glorified in what he's doing for us. His focus is us, though our focus is him. And so even right now as we sing, we come to do what Ephesians is saying, to bring praise and glory to him. To go, Lord Jesus, you are good. Your grace for me is great. Thank you for your love for me today. So look, I just encourage you, let's stand. As Nick would lead us, and let's just sing to the Lord Jesus today.